Hey, hey, what is up, everyone? This is Ette with another episode of Ecolawn Science. Hope you're having a great day. It's another blue sky day here in Utah. I say another because we haven't had that many this year as normal. I grew up in New Jersey where the skies are gray all winter, and it's been like that. But today, it's another blue sky day. So when that happens, we're all happy. It's a wonderful thing. Today's episode, we're going to talk about a creature, mammal, that we'll be seeing shortly out here. They're called voles. So there's moles and there's voles. Here in Utah, voles are a very common problem. Back east, moles are a big problem, and we'll talk about that in another episode. But I want to talk about voles because you're going to start seeing their damage very shortly as the snow melts, as it has in the Salt Lake area, and getting closer in Wasatch County. Park City, not as much. We still got, 5 feet of snow on the ground. As you get closer and the snow melts, you'll see some kind of crazy destruction in your lawn and your flower bed areas. And it's an issue. And the last few years were really bad. And what you're seeing is vole damage. And this is kind of what it looks like. It's kind of hard to describe, but think of your lawn green and, you know, just consistently grass everywhere. And then the vole damage would just be as if there were just ripped out tunnels on the surface, so not so much as below, like more moles are going to be below and they're going to push everything up. These are through the grass. You just see paths and tunnels and crazy looking intersections. And where there was all consistent grass, now it's ripped up and removed and there's brown dead spots everywhere. But they're not spots, they're lines, and they're basically tunnels is the best way to explain it. But they are awful, and when you work so hard to have a nice lawn and you've invested so much money and flower bed around ornamental plants, it's a little bit of an issue when these guys come through and they start, you know, destroying everything and, you know, just really damages the value of the property, the lawn, the beds, and these type of things. And so that's the reason I wanted to have this episode and kind of talk about it, because you're going to see this March, April, even in some areas May, and throughout the country, really, when your snow melts. Now, it's bad here because we're backed up and surrounded by mountains and native land and wild land, which is awesome. That's not the bad part, but the bad part is some of the difficulties of having a landscape is you have to work with the nature around you. And so this is just part of living in this area, is you've got these critters coming out from the mountains, from the hills, the fields, into your landscape. Who was there first? That's a whole nother conversation. But anyway, so let's look at voles. So what they are is they're basically little mammals, and they're part of the rodent family. They're small, and they're so small they actually get confused with a common house mouse. That sounds fun, house mouse, often. And they spend their entire lives outdoors. So where the mice will try to get into the house, voles don't really, I've never heard of a vole getting into a house. I think it can happen, but it's not common. What they do is they're out creating these tunnels and burrows through the lawn, through that area, which they store food inside of them, and they also give birth and raise their children inside of them. So that's just part of their lives. They're about 5 to 8 inches. They're small. And to give you an idea, I remember I've been hiking here in Park City in the summer a few times. I think it was 2 summers ago, we just had a high amount of voles everywhere. And I remember I was hiking in the early spring, and I stepped on a vole. In fact, I think I stepped on two. And I've had guys that work for me that say, even, you know, in June, there's been times when they were just out working in a field and, like, literally stepped on one. And obviously we don't want to step on them, but that's just how they're just everywhere, and they're small. And I mean, if you're stepping on an animal, you're obviously not seeing it. So they're a little bit tricky to deal with for that reason. But they're usually brownish, they're black, and they're not, you don't see them that often. But yeah, you can step on them, apparently. They do have teeth and they can bite, but I've never heard of someone actually be bitten by a vole. It's not what they're out there to do. They have all kinds of predators themselves. You know, larger mammals, they've got snakes. Part of their tunneling is just trying to survive, to stay alive. But yeah, bigger mammals will eat them. And so how do I know if I have an infestation, right? I mean, with any animal or pest, there's a threshold. You know, if you have one or two grubs in your lawn, you don't have to freak out and apply a grub treatment, right? That's not how it works. If you have one or two dandelions, you don't have to freak out and spray the whole lawn down. No, I mean, there's a threshold in a good IPM, integrated pest management system, on your property. And so really, you want to take that into consideration. If you see one vole, I don't recommend freaking out and start treating for voles. But you do want to be aware, because of the damage, it can cost you a lot of money. My service company spends a lot of time and makes a lot of money repairing these the damage from these guys, so I know what it takes. But basically, you're going to go out and you're going to see these runways or these tunnels, and I'll try to put a picture down in the notes. They're about 1 to 2 inches wide. You'll see the grass in those areas are dying and it starts to turn yellow. And when you start seeing a lot of tunnels, that's when you know you have an infestation. If you see a little area, what I would recommend is, you know, if you see a few inches that's starting to go that way, just monitor it. So maybe watch it, check it every day for a couple weeks. If you start seeing it grow to the point where you're concerned, well, that's when you can start looking at a treatment solution or how you're going to take care of it. But just because you have one or two doesn't mean you have a vole infestation. So I would say the best thing to do is once you recognize and confirm that it is voles, identify it, the next step is monitor it to see if it gets worse. Was it just the vole just happened to be there for a minute and now they're passed on, or are they here to stay and they're going to destroy your property? Then you can make your decision on how to move forward. Something kind of crazy about these voles is they actually breed throughout the year, and the females can produce up to 5 litters each, and up to 11 young in each litter. So that's, these guys can grow fast. And the young females, they can begin breeding when they're 40 days old. So a little bit different than the humans. That's kind of crazy. But yeah, as you can see, at 40 days old, they can begin the breeding process. These guys can take over quickly. And so, I don't know, just kind of a funny thing. And these voles, they don't like to travel or feed in the open. That's part of why they have these tunnels. They don't feel safe. They know that there's a lot of predators out there. If you remove their cover, that's going to help a lot. So here's some tactics you can do. You can keep your lawn mowed. I like 3 inches, maybe 4 at the most, but don't let your lawn go forever, because that's where it'll start becoming a place where they, an attractive place to the voles. Also reduce the amount of like the weedy vegetation nearby. So clean out ditches, native areas. These types of areas is where they really love to hang out and to start beginning to make a home. In the gardens, you want to manage your surrounding areas, have weed-free or bare borders around the garden. The larger, the better. So that border is going to essentially be a border for them as well. They may consider going somewhere else. One thing you might want to look at is to protect your trees. You want to keep an area about a 3-foot diameter around the tree trunk, free of vegetation. Again, the idea is you're just setting up these little parameters, these little borders around things to keep everything safe. So keep your place well maintained and organized. Don't leave piles of wood or piles of grass, dead clippings. That's where they're going to begin. And then they're going to keep going out into the open spaces, turning them from open into these little tunnels so that they can, you know, continue their family and their life. So how do you treat them? There's a few different things you can do. You can trap them is one way. Some people will trap them and remove them and put them out on an off-site far away. They're a little bit trickier. Some people don't want to deal with them. They do have baits with peanut butter or apples, but that's not usually necessary. You know, when you get to larger gardens, yards, that trapping is not really time effective, right? Because it's just not going to happen. And so there are some things that people put in bait, and then it'll actually kill the vole. That's where you get down to what your preference is. So just so you know, I don't do any of this part of it. I do the vole repair damage on the lawn side. So there are, you know, if you can trap, you can put down basically a pesticide. It's a bait that they'll eat it and it'll kill them. And then the third option is there are treatments you can put on your lawn that are like animal blood that's a granular, sometimes a liquid, and there's different type of treatments that will make it basically undesirable for them, but you won't hurt them. You won't kill them. Again, these things can cause thousands and thousands of dollars of damage. So there's that piece. It's how do you want to handle it? Again, I don't do any of this side of it. The option that I like is probably going to be the third one, which is the treatments that will help scare them away and not necessarily kill them off. That's up to your preference. And then the last piece of it is when you've removed the vole, when the vole is gone, then you want to repair it. So you're going to have these tunnels, these dead areas, these yellow areas throughout the lawn. And this is what I do with my company. One service that we do is you come in and you're going to rake out all that dead debris. Sometimes it's so bad that you're going to lose 25-30% of your lawn. Sometimes it's not too bad. When on a smaller side, if it's just a little spaces here and there, it's actually quite simple. You can rake it out with just a rake. clear it out, you know, get all the debris out, let the sun get in there, and you might have to throw some seed in the tunnels to help the grass, you know, thicken out. Sometimes you don't have to. If you have a really bad, you know, 25% of your lawn is damaged from these voles, then I'm going to recommend going in with a power raker, a dethatcher, and just pulling everything out, raking it, removing it, and then reseeding it. So on a, let's say you had a 7,000 square foot of turf, you know, you could be looking at $600-800 just for that, because it's labor intensive and up. So, you know, you have to look at what it's worth, and you have to look at how do you want to handle the problem. But my suggestion is, if you see one or two and a little bit of damage, just monitor it. Maybe you can remove it at that point with a trap. You don't have to worry about too much. If it starts growing and you're concerned, then that's when you can look at, you know, these other sprays to kind of scare them off, to make it unattractive. And then, of course, the last resort, if you had no choice and you just, there was so much damage, then you could use a bait and take care of the voles that way. Once you have the voles removed, then make sure you do your repair, which is really just raking or power raking, removing debris, and then seeding and moving forward that way. So hopefully this helps a little bit, giving insight to what the voles are. Again, start looking for them somewhere between March and May. It really depends on where you're located. But again, just keep your eyes open now that you know what it is, monitor it, and then make the best decision that fits you and your family and your lifestyle. I hope this episode has helped you. If there is something that you would like me to talk about or research or teach about, please just send me an email, rob@ecolawnutah.com, and I would love to talk about it and have more content for you. Anyway, so I hope that helps. Hope you guys have a wonderful day. I'll see you on the next episode.